You hear God's voice. What does it sound like? What does He sound like to you personally? Maybe I should ask two questions first. Is it really possible for us as human beings to hear the voice of the eternal God? After all, aren't there many who have claimed to hear God's voice and then have done unspeakable things? I believe the right answers are yes and yes. But first, I mean, the prophets whose names make up so many books of the Bible. Julie, you mentioned this actually in Sunday school. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. I mean, they themselves are proof that we can hear the voice and the truth of God. I mean, think about Isaiah. What an amazing, amazing man. He heard the Spirit of God 700 years before the birth of Christ. We likely won't hear God audibly, but don't limit Him. Sometimes we can. Sometimes we do hear specific words. I heard just two words from Him one time that changed my life. No, I didn't hear them audibly, but I knew. And you know that you know that you know. We hear Him through our spirits. Usually a still small voice within, but it takes time to identify that, to understand what's going on, what that looks like. Not always. Sometimes He can make it really clear, like I said. Usually we hear God through promptings in our spirits as we read His Word. But okay, now, what about those who have claimed to hear God's voice and then done wrong? Mental illness, substance abuse, mental impairment that occurs as a result, these are real things, but think about it. If the devil can discredit the hearing of the voice of God, he will. Because he doesn't want you to hear the real thing. And then there are those who would blithely say things like, well, the Lord told me to tell you. I was talking about that with a good friend of mine this past week who's kind of a counselor to me, and he's a dear Christian man, and he told about that experience where someone came to him that, and he said his favorite response was, well, the Lord didn't tell me that, and I've been listening. Here's the point. The instances of wrong in no way should eclipse the genuine article. We see it in Scripture. We should understand. If the gifts of the Spirit of God are alive and active today, it is possible for you and me, and I believe that they are, it is possible for you and me to hear God. God speaks to His people all the time. This is the broader witness of good and faithful people. Throughout the millennia, God longs to communicate with us. He wants us to hear Him. He wants us to commune with Him. He wants to do so for our own good and for the good of others around us. So back to where we started. How do you do that? How do you hear the voice of God? First of all, it's nothing that we make happen. It's something that we have to place ourselves in a position of receptivity for. And our scripture this morning is one of the great teachings about hearing the voice of God in Scripture. It's in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. John 10, 1 through 6, much loved passage. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Now, what's going on here? You and I are following up on where we were last week. We'll get to that in a moment. We all know sheep are not known for being smart, but this they can do. They will recognize their shepherd's voice, and they will recognize unique calls, and they will not respond to calls from others who do not have the voice of their shepherd. And this is all happening in the context of what we looked at last week. The man that Jesus had healed who was blind from birth. Remember that whole incident. Jesus sees him. Jesus singles him out, goes to him, heals him. And then the man, and you read, it's one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture, in the 9th chapter. Jesus tells him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And then he goes and he washed, and he's asked, where is the guy who healed you? I don't know. They bring him to the Pharisees. Because this was the Sabbath day. Somebody's looking for trouble. Oh, you did work. You made mud. You put it on his eyes. So you kind of see the spirit in which, they're functioning. And interestingly, the man is, eventually he gets so frustrated with the Pharisees because he sees their motives. And he says, what? He gets sarcastic. You want to be his followers too? And so they throw him out. They don't want to have anything to do with him. And the thing that I love about this story is that after that happens, Jesus seeks him out again. I just love that. Jesus seeks him. Jesus looks for him until he finds him. And that shows us his heart. And obviously, the man didn't follow them, but he followed Jesus who had set him free. He knew his shepherd's voice. So that's the context. And let's go back to the opening question again. What does God's voice sound like to you? It's not a weird question. We're talking about things of the Spirit here, where Jesus draws close to us and we draw close to him. And the voice of Jesus should be known to you and me according to what he is saying here. Let's read it again. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice, verse 3. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So what Jesus is describing here should be normative for Christian people. You and I should hear Jesus, but That takes time sometimes for us to understand what that is like, what that feels like, what that looks like. But I think of John Newton's words that we sometimes sing, and it's a good starting point. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. We know that from knowing him. That's who he is. That's what he does. There is peace in his presence. Some of you may have noted I've mentioned George MacDonald a lot lately. I've been just really enjoying a lot of his books lately. And one of them I just finished this past week was called At the Back of the North Wind, which is a children's story. And it's ultimately a book about heaven, interestingly. But he depicts in this book this scene in the mid-1800s in which a boy walks into his neighbor's home where a drunken man has just hit his wife and she's weeping and the baby is crying. And the boy, who's a good boy, just walks into the situation trying to bring peace. So what does he do? Does he confront the man? No. He comforts the baby. And in comforting the baby, the mother is comforted. And then MacDonald goes on to describe the scene. The father sat staring at nothing, neither asleep nor awake, nor quite lost in stupidity either, for through it all, he was dimly angry with himself. He did not know why. It was that he had struck his wife. He had forgotten it, but was miserable about it, notwithstanding. And this misery was the voice of the great love. And here, MacDonald capitalizes the word love, so you know where he's going. That had made him and his wife and the baby and the boy speaking in his heart, telling him to be good. For that great love speaks in the most wretched and dirty hearts. Only the tone of its voice depends on the echoes of the place in which it sounds. On Mount Sinai, it was thunder. In this father's heart, it was misery. In the soul of St. John, it was perfect blessedness. Oh, think about that. Did you hear it? This is very important. When it comes to understanding what it's like to hear the voice of God, not just if we hear it, but how we hear the voice of God. How does it sound to us? What are its tones? The ways we hear God's voice, again, through Scripture, through prayer, through the counsel of believing friends, in ways consistent with Scripture, these should all be a daily part of our lives, but not limited to this alone. What I'm going after is that place of heart to heart with God. If we will hear, how we will hear. Let me read the sentence from MacDonald again. For that great love, meaning God, speaks in the most wretched and dirty hearts. Only the tone of its voice depends on the echoes of the place in which it sounds. So when I'm talking about how do we hear the word of God, I'm not just talking about the mechanics of, okay, looking in Scripture, being in prayer, but I'm talking about how you receive it when you hear it. If you're in Scripture, if you're in prayer, if you're open, if you're listening, the echoes of the place. Those are the echoes in your heart and mine. I've heard God's voice in many different ways in my heart and life. in conviction of sin, in inspiration, in peace, in specific words, in forgiveness, in deep, deep love. And as I read those words from MacDonald, as I read them for the first time, I found myself asking, how am I hearing God right now? It's a question I hope you'll ask yourself this morning. I found that the way that I heard God was often tied to the way that I was treating Him. If God's voice was distant, it was because I was distant. Not always, but if God's voice was convicting, it was because I was holding on to a sin and putting it before Him. If God's voice was gentle and loving, it was because I was seeking Him out and I was taking the time to just be with Him. And seeking, I found. And there was nothing better. You can tell a lot about your relationship with God in the moment by the way His voice sounds to you. On Mount Sinai, MacDonald wrote, remember, it was thunder. Why? Because the people were rushing after other gods. They were worshiping other gods. They were running after other things. Why do you think they heard thunder? I think that works. Because God is a holy God. But for John, it was perfect blessedness. Why? Because he loved Jesus, and Jesus loved him, and he knew him. He loved God more than anything else. So again, personally, please think about that this morning. How does the voice of God sound in your own heart and life? Because, dear one, He wants to speak to you. And He wants to speak to you with the sweetest voice that you have ever heard. He wants to speak with you with a voice that can bring peace into your most fragile and heated and difficult moments, into your fears, into your worries. And if you long to hear His voice in sweetness, take the step of simply loving Him. And it is a step. But draw close to His heart. Would you like to hear Him when you are in low places? Then humble yourself. Be humble in those places. Come down to where He is, and He will meet you there. Just wherever you are, be with Him as honest as you can be, but believe and worship and follow Him in that place, and He will lift you up. Now, if you are not hearing His voice, if you do not sense His presence, His closeness, please don't misunderstand. It may not be because you are distant. Sometimes it is just because life can be so difficult and overwhelming. And you and I can be bundles of nerves, or our hearts seeking in the wrong places and our bodies exhausted. But it is especially then that we need to seek His peace, to seek His rest, His arms as the Good Shepherd, His still, small voice. He carries the lambs close to His heart, Scripture says. And the truth is, if we don't expect to hear him, we probably won't. He still will, sometimes. But just be open. Just be open. This requires faith, and you may say, I just have a little. Tell him that. It may require a conscious step of faith in the middle of difficulty to look up, to look to him over our problems. But I would ask you, do you believe that you can hear him? Because that's what Jesus is saying here. And I don't think it's just figurative about following him and walking with him. I think this is a personal truth. I think it's literal in many ways. My sheep know me. They know my voice. That's ongoing, continuous action. And maybe you don't hear his voice because you haven't received him. Or maybe you received him and then went in another direction. All of that is past. What matters is here and now. To know that he really does want you to know him. And through the centuries, you see people who have. And they're not just the, you know, Apostle Johns. They're people that you and I have never heard of who've walked with him. Humble, simple people that you never would heard of because they never put themselves on a pedestal. But how do you hear his voice? If you've never received him, tell him you want to receive him because, again, oh, there is nothing better than knowing him, than having his comfort and hope and peace and strength for life. And then just realize that as you do, as you say, Lord, I don't want it to be all about me. I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. So I ask you to forgive me and help me. That as you take those steps, that's just the beginning of the greatest adventure of all, where you are becoming increasingly close to him. Let me close with this. The other day, I walked into the home where my 2-year-old granddaughter was. Now, Leilani and I love each other. I've told you about her many times. But as soon as she saw me, her face lit up. And she said, Papa, you're here. And she put her little arms out wide and ran to me. And I scooped her up and held her close because that's what we do. And then she said in my ear, Papa, I love you. How do you think I responded? Go away, kid, you bothered me. Not hardly. I love you too. And if broken down, bald old James Banks can respond in that way, how much more, you and I who are made in the image of God, how much more does our Father in heaven respond when you and I turn to him with a simple, Papa, I love you. When you and I run to him with arms open, will he not respond with gestures of affection as well? So do it. Do it. Run to Him. Because He loves you. Speak to Him because He longs to hear from you. Listen because He longs to speak to you. But to listen, take the time to listen. Because what He has to say, oh, it's good. It is so good. And you don't want to miss it. And just a word can not only change your day, it can bless your life. When we come to Him in love, He meets us the same way. So let's go to Him now, shall we? Father, thank You. Jesus, thank You. You are our good shepherd. Thank You. Help us to run to You, to run. Help us to let You in. To open wide our hearts. Thank You that You long to meet us. It doesn't matter where we've been, what our mess was. We're with You now. Thank You that You long to offer us forgiveness and hope and a new beginning. Thank You that Your word says You even rejoice over us with singing. Abba, Father, we love You. We thank You that You will help us to love You more. In Jesus' name, amen. sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. If he's calling your name this morning, oh, just take a step in his direction. I'm going to just sit quietly over here for a moment. If there's anybody who perhaps has not received Jesus and would like to pray to receive him, I'll just be sitting there and we can quietly step into the prayer room for a moment. But your shepherd is calling. And if you have received him, he longs to walk with you this week closely. Oh, that's a good thing. You need to be there. Father, bless us as we go. Just to quietly walk with you in love. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I didn't realize it was 3 days, because usually it's only 2 days.